Who is it you are looking for? It's true, isn't it, that we often tend to see what we want to see or what we are really looking for. And so the question that Jesus asked Mary is an important one. Who is it you are looking for? And it's an important question, not just for Mary, but for us as well. Obviously, Mary was looking for Jesus. But which Jesus was she seeking? Well, when she arrived, she was obviously looking for a Jesus who was dead and buried. She had come to the tomb to pay her last respects to a dead friend. She had a deep love for him and so many fond memories. But that's all that Jesus could be for her now, a memory. And that's the Jesus that she came looking for. And that's the Jesus that some people are still looking for, a Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago. What he did and taught continues to inspire them. In their thoughts, they may even stand at Calvary and experience a deep emotion within themselves. But nonetheless, they are looking for a Jesus who is dead, a Jesus who belongs in the past. But more than that, if that's the Jesus we are after, he is not only confined to the past, but he's also an imposter. He's certainly nobody worth seeking out. Why do I say that? Well, didn't he say that he would rise from the dead? Didn't he say to his disciples, "I will be with you always"? If he is just a memory, then he's not worth remembering. Who wants to honor someone who made claims that he couldn't fulfill, who made promises that he didn't keep? Paul puts it this way in that reading from Corinthians: if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion, and you are still lost in your sins. The Gospels were not written to try and convince people of the resurrection. The Gospels were written because of the resurrection. Let me say that again. The Gospels were not written to try and convince people of the reality of the resurrection. They were written because of the reality of the resurrection. If there'd be no resurrection, then there would be no Gospels either. Mary comes to the tomb looking for a Jesus who would forever be confined to the past. But suddenly, Mary realizes that this one that she's speaking to is not the gardener at all, but Jesus, alive again. What a wonderful moment it is. Perhaps she recognizes Jesus when he speaks her name, as he had done so often in the past. Mary. Mary. And that can be our experience too. Each of us can know Jesus speaking our name. Can you hear it? Can you sense Jesus speaking your name? Indeed, he does. And he speaks it with the same love and emotion that he did when he spoke the name of Mary. We can imagine Mary suddenly thinking to herself, how wonderful. Things are again as they were before. She must have felt like she had woken up from a horrible nightmare. Suddenly, the events of Good Friday were just a distant memory. Now she could go back to life as before. But that question of Jesus to Mary remains. Who is it that you are looking for? Is it the human Jesus that you knew before? Is it the Jesus who walked with you, Mary, who taught you, who shared meals with you? No, it's not. Jesus is no longer merely the human Jesus she had known. Jesus wants Mary to realize that he is more than the human Jesus that she was so familiar with. And possibly that's why he says to her, Mary, don't hold on to me. Don't hold on to the person that you knew me as. For I am now so much more than that. Mary needs to see the bigger picture. She needs to have her mind and her vision broadened. We can fall into the same error as Mary did. The Jesus we are looking for may be merely a Jesus who is a friend, a Jesus whom it is good to have around, a Jesus who can help us in difficult situations, who can guide us in difficult decisions. But like Mary, we also need the broader picture. We need to see the Jesus, yes, who is a friend and companion, but who is also so much more. A Jesus who is the Lord to be worshipped and obeyed. It's a bit like having a close friend with whom one has worked for many years. And then there comes the day when this friend is suddenly promoted to be the CEO of your company. And suddenly that relationship changes. The friendship is still there, but there is a new element of authority and respect that comes into play. In a matter of a few minutes, Mary has to move from considering Jesus as a dead friend, fondly remembered, to a Jesus who is once again alive and with her as he was before, to a Jesus who loves and cares for her as much as he ever did, but who is also now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to be worshipped and adored. Who is it that you and I are looking for today? Which of those pictures of Jesus do we have? A dead hero? A living companion? Or a glorified Lord? Perhaps another way of putting it is it a case of me or me and Jesus or Jesus and me? In the first one, it's just about me on my own, seeking to live the Christian life, honoring the example of Jesus from 2,000 years ago. Or is it me and Jesus? I'm still the center of things. But Jesus is alive. He is with me. But he's there for me, rather than me being there for him. And so lastly, is it Jesus and me? Jesus first and foremost, the Jesus that we are reminded of on that empty cross. Jesus first, and me following faithfully. Me being there for Jesus, alert and obedient to his every word. Perhaps another way of saying all this is to talk about mind and heart and will. The Jesus of 2,000 years ago is a Jesus really of our mind, of our intellect, on whom we read about, whom we can learn from. The Jesus of our heart is the Jesus for whom we feel a love and affection as a living companion and friend. The Jesus of the will is also the Jesus for whom we feel that affection. But more than that, it is a Jesus who controls my will, the one who is on the throne of my life, the one who holds the steering wheel of my future. Who is it that you are looking for? Amen.